Hey, it's Brian Hayes. Big news in Canada. Manscaped is officially launched throughout the country. It is time to fire up the best men's below-the-waist grooming option possible. That is Manscaped. You're going to feel better about yourself, and most importantly, your significant other is going to absolutely love it. Check out the website manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code Hayes, that's H-A-Y-E-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code Hayes and start trimming. Some news here with the Leafs. Nick Robertson has been placed on the COVID list for the Leafs. Don't have any clarity on why that's the case, but he was with the Marlies as of 3 or 4 days ago, and the whole Marlies team has been shut down due to a COVID scare or concern over COVID. So maybe we can connect the dots on that. But COVID is lurking, man. It's all over the city, and it's kind of lurking around this team. It feels that way. To chat about it, we're joined now by our TSN Hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What do you make of this story with Robertson and what's going on with the Marlies and how it pertains to the Leafs?
Yeah, well, look, I think you've summarized it beautifully. I don't think there's any way to disconnect the two, right? Because of what's gone on in the American League with the Toronto Marlies, close contact tracing, all of those things that every team has to go through with the NHL and the Players Association when you've got at least one false positive until they know it's a false positive or a positive test. I mean, this is just part of the logistics and the protocols that the National Hockey League deals with on a day-by-day basis. I mean, they're dealing with it today with Colorado too, right? Right. I think it's Grubauer is on the COVID list, but I'm told from an NHL source that the Colorado game will go on as scheduled tonight. So we'll see there. And I'm sure that the due diligence is still being done specific to the Maple Leafs, Nick Robertson, the Marlies, and all of that. But I don't have the sourcing direct from either the Leafs or the NHL, but because of just common sense and what we've experienced to this point in dealing with NHL cases and issues, I'm going to make an assumption that I think is a fair one, that it's close contact that has Robertson in protocol.
So, Dregs, when you look at it, I mean, these things are popping up a little more than the NHL would like, obviously. The situation in Vancouver is about as bad as it can get, and it's ugly. What do you think the odds are? I mean, if you just kind of spitball it, the odds are that we're going to have to go to some kind of bubble model to get the Stanley Cup awarded when it all comes down to it.
Yeah, I that's obviously not going to be a scenario that would be considered scenario A or B from an NHL perspective, because it's about grabbing hold of any sort of revenue stream that you possibly can. So there aren't going to be fans in Canada. I think that's foregone conclusion. Certainly, can any of us envision fans in Ontario?
No chance.
Maybe even to start the season? All kidding aside. Like until we're vaccinated, and God knows when that's going to happen here. No sense ripping the scab off that wound. But so in saying that, I think that the better scenario would be for the National Hockey League to look at whoever wins North Division, set them up in an American venue, go through the quarantine, whatever you have to do to get safe. And then that team, those players, everybody involved just stays there until they've been eliminated. Or they've hoisted a Stanley Cup and they just keep marching through. It's far from a perfect situation, but I just don't see any other way. Now, if there's risk in whatever city that were to take place, or if the risk develops further between now and the end of the regular season or round one of the playoffs or round two, when you've got to really make that decision, then I suppose a hybrid or a bubble could be considered. But I don't get the sense from NHL officials that they expect that. They have to put these teams in a safe environment, but the best case scenario is a safe environment where you can put a good percentage of fans in the building to get the revenue streams flowing.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, I just read a quote, I think, from JT Miller, chatting with Farhan Lalji, and JT Miller is basically saying in Vancouver, do you really expect us to bring much to the table? Like, I'm reading between the lines here.
Yeah.
But they're going to get one practice in a pregame. They're likely going to be shorthanded based on the COVID list alone. And their season's over anyway. It was over before the shutdown. this, I don't, like, what can we expect for 19 games out of this Vancouver team?
Well, not much, Brian, obviously. But the fact that that organization is, scramble isn't the right word, because they're so out of gas that they can't even scramble. You know, to expect that that team is going to ice a lineup on, what, Friday? I mean, that just is mind-boggling to me, because I followed that story very closely. And it was an experience for me as a reporter. I don't lean too heavily on the opinion of social media, especially when you're dealing with impeccable sources and facts. But it got to a point where it was almost dangerously comical, if that even makes sense, where people were just, ah, come on, these guys have the flu. They didn't have the flu. There were some of these guys that were really sick, right? And now you fast forward, and the players are coming through the other side of it now, as we realize today, with a number of the Canucks players being taken off the COVID list. But you've got, there are pregnant wives that were impacted, children that were impacted. Like, the physical wear and tear is obvious. The emotional wear and tear on that group is probably immeasurable. Right. So now, you know, and we're not that far removed from it being a very scary situation. But because the integrity of the regular season, the influence of those games potentially on the other teams and then the individuals, you know, variety of different, scoring races and all of those things, I guess the NHL just felt like, you know, as soon as it is physically safe to do this, we have to do it. But Brian, to your point, I mean, how can this team be expected to compete at the level that they're going to have to compete? They came off their break and got slapped sideways by COVID and variant strains. And so imagine what their first couple of games are going to look like. It's going to be horrendous. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be almost unfairly ridiculous.
That's what I'm bracing for.
I think everyone's bracing for the same thing.
I'm surprised.
No, it's scary. I mean,
yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, Jack.
Go ahead,
Steve. It is scary. It's a health and safety issue for a team. If you're an agent for one of those guys or a loved one of one of those guys, and they're expected to go out there and play NHL hockey after sitting on the sidelines this long and only getting one practice and one morning skate, that strikes me as a health issue.
Well, and furthermore, you know, there were players, Vancouver Canucks players, that were diagnosed a while back with COVID-19 and then got the variant strain. So they've been down this road twice. So, I mean, is it inconceivable to think that it couldn't happen again? Like, if not to those players, then to those. And I just can't put myself in a, like, I'll bring it into my own selfish, tiny little world. I mean, I had a choice to make for Monday's trade deadline. Do I go in studio, which, Brian, you were there, it was incredibly safe. I fully trusted TSN and Bell in managing it, but there's risk, right? And how you deal with risk is a very selfish and individual decision that needs to be made. Now, for reasons, you know, in my own home, I decided that my safest option was to take advantage of the great home studio that TSN has afforded me, and we did trade deadline from there. But that's me living in my own little world. So now magnify that times whatever when you're a young world-class athlete, you've been buckled by it, and now your wife has it, and your kids have it. Like, I mean, I just can't imagine the mental stress that collective group has been through. So I wish them well, obviously we all do. But for me, hockey should be the last thing that the Vancouver Canucks should be worrying about.
Yeah, I would love to be a fly on the wall with American players up here, especially on these on teams like Ottawa and Vancouver who are out of it.
Yeah.
I'm almost surprised that we haven't heard of families saying, we're going down to the States, we can get vaccines down there. Like, we'll see you later. Mm. Or even players, I wouldn't even be shocked. If it didn't, it would go so against the culture of, you know, team and we're in it, I'm not going to bail on you guys, but there's American players up here that if they were back home, they'd be living a very different lifestyle. And they'd have access to something that we don't up here. They can't get up here. And I'm almost surprised that hasn't happened, Dregs, where a player's not been like,
guys, I'm going down. I'll come back up and quarantine for 7 days, but I'm bringing my family down there, kids down there. This is what we're doing.
I mean, it has to be considered, Brian. Like I think of Blake Wheeler with the Winnipeg Jets, who's out with concussion issues, right? And the good news is he's getting better. Here's an American guy who is a highly educated individual. He's got a young family in Winnipeg, and Western Canada is feeling it the same way we are in Ontario. There's no way that he isn't sitting and stressing over this, particularly when you're going through your own physical issues and you're not in the team environment, you're not playing, and you don't have that distraction. So that's an excellent point.
Yeah. Well,
Dregs, we were sifting through some of Hazy B's former hot takes earlier in the show, and one of them was I thought it was a really good Hazy B hot take. It was, you know, when you look back at the 2015 draft, obviously Connor McDavid is the king daddy of that one. It's never going to change. But the number two pick, Jack Eichel, and the number four pick, Mitch Marner, between those two guys, Hazy B's take was Marner's turned out to be the better bet and a guy who deserves more money. And, you know, given the news about Jack Eichel today with his herniated disc in the neck area out for the season, what do you make of that?
Well, that is a spicy take. And I mean, you know, statistically, it's bearing fruit now. You know that NHL managers are always going to go with a centerman, right? And in this case, a very talented American centerman in Jack Eichel. I think this is a wise move by the Eichel camp. And I know that the Buffalo Sabres fully endorsed it. They know this season is over. Jack has been working with Sabres doctors and specialists from the injury point moving forward, and that's been on a weekly basis. I wasn't expecting that surgery was going to be an option or let alone required. That was a bit of a surprise to me, and I think that decision would have been made relatively suddenly, because even going into the deadline on Monday and talking to, you know, Sabres sources and those close to Eichel, things were trending in the right direction. He was starting to feel better. I mean, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that he'd return this year just because of the sensitivity of the issue. But the fact that surgery was acquired, I mean, that makes it more sketchy for me. But I say that,
yes.
And all it does is, for now at least, it obviously parks the speculation of his future. You know, the importance of his health is priority one. But we're going to be talking about Jack Eichel's future as soon as the gong rings on the end of the Buffalo Sabres season at Game 56.
Because, absolutely.
Yeah, then you're. It almost feels like you can start the clock ticking, right? And there'll be tons of interest, as there probably should be. And I, you know, that's an enormous contract. But I think a healthy Jack Eichel in a different environment with a fresh start is going to be a motivated Jack Eichel. And I think he'll return to his star status.
Well, sticking with the Hazy B quiet takes, another one of them that we dug up last hour was that David Riddick should be using this as somewhat of a platform for an addition to the Maple Leafs, or for the Maple Leafs, because I think there's just as much of an opportunity of the Leafs saying thanks but no thanks to Freddie Anderson and him moving on, and them going with a tandem like Campbell and or Riddick. Could you see that being the case based on where this is going?
I think you absolutely could see that. You know, and look, we've probably said enough about the work that Kyle Dubas did leading up to the deadline and then through the deadline. He ticked all the boxes, right? You know, acquiring Foligno, getting the seventh D-man and Ben Hutton. Who knows? Maybe he works into that third pairing and is a better option than Travis Dermott. I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. But I think that was a shrewd move to make sure that they bolstered their crease for the obvious reasons. I mean, Freddie isn't going to be back before the end of the regular season, and then how sharp can he be at that point? And Jack Eichel, the question mark beside his health is starting to fade for me, but you can't erase it entirely. So it was just way too much of a gamble. So there's nothing but opportunity here for Riddick. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to have to make some real tough choices, big decisions, in the not-too-distant future when you get into the offseason. And, guys, I can tell you, and nobody's going to be surprised by this, there are managers just salivating with the thought that Zach Hyman is going to become an unrestricted free agent. I doubt it happens because of his importance and value to the Maple Leafs, but they're going to have to buck up. They know that. Whatever that number is, it's going to be more than they're comfortable paying, but they're going to have to pay it. I feel like they're going to have to pay it. So maybe the insurance in the financial side comes from having Jack Campbell stay healthy, prove that he can be a number one, and Dave Riddick, in the limited time he has now with the Maple Leafs, proving that he can fit into their future plan as well.
Yep, I could see that all playing out. We've only got 12, 13 games to go before the real stuff starts. We look forward to it. Great stuff, buddy, as always. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
You bet, guys. Have a great night.
There's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Lots of information there in terms of where the Leafs are at, Vancouver's at. The Leafs are they got a lot of games coming up in a short period of time, right? Like, they've had their breaks, and now it's almost every other night they're going.